So good morning again, and I'm glad that you guys are here with us, and just want to say thank you to the band for just allowing them to be used and to lead us to the throne, and just be excited about being here and about worship. And so thank you to them. Listen, we are going to be wrapping up our series, Blessed, as I said earlier, and this is week four. All of the previous weeks are on the website, so you can go catch up and bring yourself up to speed with where we are and what we've been talking about. But what this series has been is a series that has helped us to understand that there are some things that we are blessed with that we often don't look at as blessings. I mean, if we get a brand new car, we consider ourselves blessed, right? At least until you make the first payment. But if if somebody gives us a gift, we think we're blessed because we have something. We think we're blessed because we have more than other people sometimes. We think we're blessed for a lot of reasons, and it usually wraps around stuff. But what we've been looking at are some blessings that don't have anything to do with what we have, the things that we own and can touch and see. It's about the things that God has given us that we typically overlook that can help us be all that God wants us to be, to help us to be the Christ follower that he wants us to be. And so today is a message that's going to heavily surround around being a believer in Jesus Christ. So let me say this up front. If you're here and that's not you, well, first, we're extremely glad that you're here and that you would acknowledge that. But two, you need to know that there's still stuff in here for you. And my prayer is that by the time we finish today, that you could consider yourself a follower and believer in Jesus. And so we want us to spend some time today, though, really looking at one of the things that I think we hear a lot about, but we overlook what the significance of it is. And just to catch you up, we talked about being blessed with a need, and that need is for each other. So we have a need for people to be around us, to encourage us, to lift us up. We talked about being blessed with a burden, the things that really we feel inside that we are passionate about, that God has given us a burden, and it's a blessing to have it because it's what helps us get things done. And then we talked last week about being blessed to be a blessing, that we have what we have so that we can help other people. And so when we take what we have, whether it's money or stuff, then we can use that to help other people be able to either meet physical needs that they have, but most importantly, to lead them where we can help them with their most important need, and that's their spiritual need. And so today, this one is going to lead us up to that. And here's what you are blessed with. You are blessed to share Christ. You are blessed to share Christ. Those of you that are fully committed to Christ, that this is, you've experienced his grace, you've experienced salvation, of understanding that you were separated from him by sin, and that through believing in Jesus and what he did on the cross, that you've trusted him, you've confessed your sins, and you're forgiven and you're saved. That's that word that we use in church that really freaks people out sometimes. Saved, what is that? I wouldn't drown in or anything. But the reality is that you've been saved from what we all are worthy of and deserve, and that's the penalty of our sin, and that's death. And so here's what we're talking about. We hear the word evangelism, and we hear the word evangelist, and we hear the word evangelical. That was a big word going through this election cycle, talking about the vote of evangelicals. And basically what that was is people who believe that there is something to tell and to share. I use it pretty way more in a much different way than CNN uses it, but that's a whole nother series. But the thing of it is that we, when you talk about sharing the story of Jesus, sharing the good news of the gospel, that is evangelism. That is something that we as followers of Christ are all called to be part of. And that brings up a lot of different emotions for a lot of different people, whether you are a follower of Jesus or not. There's different ways that we look at it. In a book, The Day That America Told the Truth, there was a that talked about a study that was done, And people were asked to rank jobs, this list of jobs, based on the integrity and honesty of the people. The integrity and honesty of the profession. And out of those 73 jobs, the role of televangelist was ranked third from the bottom. Out of 73, when it comes to integrity and honesty, the role of the job of a televangelist was ranked third from the bottom. It's because people look at Christians a lot of times and they don't see integrity and they don't see honesty and they don't see the truth of the message played out in their lives. And we know all the stories of televangelists and pastors and all kinds that have fallen. And, you know, I think sometimes that they and we put them on too high of a pedestal, and we need to never forget that they're men and women. They're going to make mistakes. But the truth is they've put themselves there, and so it becomes very visible and very obvious when that happens. But when we talk about evangelism and evangelists and all of that, there is a sense in our culture that doesn't always equal integrity. I was helping a lady at Lowe's the other day in my part-time job. I was helping her get some paint, and she said, "Do you really think that looks good?" And I said, "I really do think it looks good," and it did. But I went on, I was going to say, I'm a pastor of a church, and we have that color. But before I could get to, "and we have that color," she already said, "Oh, well, I can trust you then because you're a pastor." And I was like, "You might be the only one, you know?" I guess if I was talking about money, she probably wouldn't have trusted me. But we were talking about paint, so she gave me a little leeway. But the reality is that for the most part, people don't have this sense of outside of the church. If you're a non-believer, if you haven't trusted Christ, when we talk about evangelism and sharing the story and you hear those words, you probably get very skeptical. You know, "Don't tell me I need that Jesus." You know, we hear all kinds of stuff. "Don't tell me that I'm lost. Don't tell me that I need to be saved. Don't tell me that I need Jesus in my life. You know, I'm a good person, and so I'm better than a lot of Christians that I know." And so you hear a lot of things that come from non-believers. But then when it comes to believers, we hear some things as well. One thing is you hear a lot of guilt, that people say, "You know, I can't share because I know me, and I know that, you know, that I'm not perfect, and I know that I struggle, and I know that I have this and that and everything else, and so I know I should, but I can't because I know that I'm not perfect." Well, guess what? You're not the only one. There's only been one that was. So don't let, you know, Satan hide that from you. Don't let him take it away from you. None of us are perfect. I mean, ask my wife. She'll tell you that this guy isn't, you know. So listen, we all make mistakes. We all fall short. But the good news is those of us that have accepted Christ have been forgiven and set free from the bondage of all of that mess. And so because of that, we can overcome the guilt and still share. The other thing that comes from believers is fear. We are just scared to death to tell somebody because we're afraid we won't know all the answers. Well, you know what? Nobody knows all the answers. The reality is, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, you know what you know, and you need to be able to share it. Don't let fear be the thing that holds you back and keeps you from doing what we're all called to do as believers, and that's to share about Jesus. We've been blessed with this blessing of an incredible event that happened, and that was Jesus giving his life on the cross and paying for our sin and then being raised again from the dead. And he did all that for us, and he did that for you, and you need to be able to overcome the fear of being able to tell somebody about that if you've truly experienced it. We all have it, though. We get afraid. We get insecure about sharing. I remember several years ago, I went to South Africa, and we were there, and they took us out to this area, this little town out there, and it was a town basically of these little corrugated tin houses that were, I mean, I don't know how in the world those things stood up on their own. But they were a bunch of corrugated tin houses mixed in with some mud houses, mixed in with some little nicer houses. It was kind of weird how it all fit together. But they took us out there, and we were helping a young church get started, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go door to door, and we're going to share Jesus and invite people to a relationship with him and then invite them to come to church. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I am out here in a place that I don't know nothing about them. I don't look like them. I don't talk like them. I am completely different than them. If you just go on the outside, if you just look at it, I'm going to go, you want me, you know, the healthy American to go and tell the Africans that they need Jesus, that they need, because, you know, what am I, are you serious? And they're like, yeah. And so we did. And so they said, okay, but the first thing we want to do is we're going to pray. And I'm like, you're right, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray none of them are home, you know, because I'm just being honest with you. And I can tell people about Jesus. I can share the gospel all day long, but in that setting, I became so insecure because it took me out of my comfort zone. But, you know, it wasn't long, about the third house that I went to that somebody was home, I was able to lead a man named Peter to Jesus. And I'm thinking, what an amazing opportunity God had blessed me with to go and share the story. The same Jesus who saved me in America can save Peter in South Africa. And we are both going to be in the same place when we take our last breath. See, there's a lot more that we had in common than I wanted to let on. And the people that you have opportunities to share with, there's a lot more in common than you think so. And so we need to understand that we have a blessing of being able to share this good news of who Jesus is. And so if you've ever felt insecure about it, if that's where you're at, then let me give us a little help here. Because Peter... or Paul helped me as we went there to talk to Peter, because there were some things that I had to look at differently to be able to meet Peter where he was. And Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, kind of does that for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 and 20, and then skipping to 22 and 23, he says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Listen, what I had to do was when I met Peter there in South Africa, I had to make sure that I realized that I became weak like he was weak. And that weakness was that without Jesus, I was lost and going to die and go to hell. That was the reality. And Peter, where he was, if he didn't have Jesus, was going to die, and he was going to spend forever separated from God in a place called hell, just like me. And so you have to realize that where you are, you have to be able to share with them. And so today what I want to do is just give us some pictures of ways that we can become all things to all people. Some ways that we can do what we have to do to win the lost. Because listen, we've got to be able to do that. Short of sin itself, we got to be willing to do whatever it takes to win people to Christ. Because people are going to, in our culture, in our society, it's harder and harder to get people to see their need for Jesus, because we have so much and we're blessed with so many things, and we can turn on the TV. You know, half of us did our Christmas shopping and we never even left our house this weekend. And if you did, God bless you. I'm glad that you survived. But the truth is that we live in a culture now that we, you know, it's just at a snap of a finger, things are done for us. And we need to be able to do that. So let me help us be able to do that. Let's look at some unlikely evangelists. The first one is the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman and the story recorded of Jesus meeting her. And we find that there is a truth that comes with her that you need to be able to invite someone to come and see. To invite someone to come and see. If you got your outline there, you can fill that in. But the Samaritan woman teaches us that we should be able to invite someone to come and see. This woman that Jesus meets at the well is pretty interesting. She's got some strikes against her. There are some pretty significant strikes at this point. First, she's a woman. In this culture, it was not a good thing to be a woman. You were looked at as less than, and that you just weren't as valuable as a man. That you were not as important, that you weren't able to do the things that a man could do. And so she was a woman. She was a Samaritan. In this culture, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They were considered a half-breed people, and they didn't like them and didn't want anything to do with them. They didn't interact with them. They didn't have any socialization with them. Nothing there whatsoever. And so the third thing that this woman had against her is she'd been around the block a time or two. She was well-known, as you could say, by a lot of people, and not in a good way. She had been around the block. She had been looked at with less than value already, and she had devalued herself even more. And so here she comes, the middle of the day, to gather her water. She's there in the middle of the day because of the fact that nobody would want to be around her. She was in shame, and she didn't come when everybody else was there. So here she comes to get her water. Jesus has been traveling. He's sitting there, and there's this interaction that takes place between them. And he begins to talk to her. And as the woman is there, she's in shock. You know, this guy is talking to her, who is a male Jew. And then before long, he makes a statement to her. He says, you know, go get your husband. And she says, listen, I don't have a husband. And he's like, you're right. And the guy you're living with, not your husband either. And, you know, you've had five husbands and all of this stuff. And so he begins to tell her things about her, and now she is just blown away. And the scripture tells us that that she had a reaction to Jesus and this meeting that she had with him. In verse 28 of John chapter 4, it says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Listen, she met Jesus, had an interaction with him, and was different. And she didn't run back to the village and say, "Oh man, I'm an evangelist now. I gotta share my faith. They're gonna know who I am." She didn't do that. She didn't go back and start a Bible study so she could bring people to her house and tell them about the story. She didn't do didn't do anything that we typically think we have to do in the church to do it. She just went back and said, listen, come and see what's going on up here. This guy knows something, and he is special. And you need to come and you need to experience him for yourself. What an amazing thing that she was able to do, because she had had an interaction with Jesus. He had revealed himself to her. She had met him, and she was different. And she had to go back and tell people, listen, you got to go see this for yourself. You got to go experience it for yourself. You realize that you can do that with your church? Just, if you've been blessed by what God's doing at your church, you can do the same thing. If God's moving in your life, you can go do the same thing. Say, listen, man, you got to come and see. You got to come and see this one who's changed me. And I got a perfect place for you to come see him. It's at my church. You can say, come and see. In fact, we used to put that on a lot of things, was come and see. That was kind of a motto for a little while, because we were so focused, just get people to come and see who God is. Not who your pastor is, who your band is, who greets you at the door. Those are all great things. But the reality is come and see the one that we're gathered here today to worship and lift up. Come and see him and let him do something in your life like he's done in my life. Some of you have done that, and it's really kind of cool. Every once in a while, I'll see my name gets tagged in something, and I'll go look, and it's like one of those things on One Man's Junk that says, I'm looking for a church. And people go on there and just post the name of their church, and I've seen some of you guys go on there and do that, and that's awesome that you would do it. It's like, just come and see. You know, come and check out what's going on. You know, I can't get enough, you know, you're always talking about the music and stuff. I can't get you to talk about the great preaching that goes on. I don't know why. You know, good-looking pastor and all that stuff. No, I'll never talk about that. just about the band, man. So anyway, just never mind. But anyway, so come and see. Come and see. Come and see and be changed. You know that there's a study that was done that says that 4 out of 5 people who are invited to church will come. 4 out of 5. That's a pretty good odd. You know, if we could get 4 out of 5 people to come every Sunday, that would be awesome. If we could get 4 out of 5 people to give, you know, on a regular basis, that would be awesome. You know, to be generous and give to all the different things we do. If we could get 4 out of 5 to do anything in America, we couldn't even get 4 out of 5 to go vote with the craziest election we've ever had. But the study says if you'll invite your friends, that 4 out of 5 will come to church with you. That's pretty good odds. I'll take anything with an 80% chance of being positive. And yet we still don't do it. And I'm like, man, just, you have opportunities all day. You have opportunities with people that you interact with all day long. You don't have to, you know what? Just listen. You don't even have to invite them to this church. Just invite them to go to a church where they can find out about Jesus and be changed by him. Now, I mean, seriously. I mean, if you want to invite him here, I'm going to make sure they hear about him. But the truth is, if just invite him somewhere that you know they're going to hear. Maybe they live somewhere else. Maybe they live, you know, away from him. Just invite them. We need to be able to do that. And the Samaritan woman taught us. Just come and see. Invite them to come and see. The second unlikely evangelist is this. It's the blind guy. The blind guy. And the blind guy teaches us a really cool thing that we need to be able to share their story. Share your story. This guy was born blind. Jesus meets him. He, you know, and gives him an opportunity. He spits in the dirt, rubs it together, and rubs it on the guy's eyes and tells him to go wash them off. This guy had been blind all of his life. As a child, as a teenager, young adult, all of that, he'd gone through life with total darkness. And he meets Jesus, and Jesus, in a very simple act, sends this man off to the pool. He washes off his eyes, and for the first time, he sees. Can you imagine what that would be like to see darkness all of your life, and then to come to a place where you meet Jesus and your sight is restored, and all the vivid colors and the faces and just all the things that he saw for the first time? Can you imagine what that moment was like? If you know Jesus, you should know exactly what that's like. Because listen, we all come to him like this guy, blind. Blind for so many years. What happened was this guy got healed, and immediately the Pharisees went to work. Oh, you know, they began to criticize Jesus for healing him. And they begin to question the guy, and they begin to give him a hard time, and they say, man, this guy's a sinner. You know, tell us, he's a sinner, right? You know, da, da, da. And here's what the guy says in John 9, verse 25. Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. You and I should be able to tell people, listen, I don't have all the answers about how all that works. Don't ask me about that Leviticus stuff. I don't know about that. Some of you don't even know what Leviticus is. It's in your Bible. I'm just telling you. But that's okay. Listen, if you didn't know that, that's okay. But what you need to know is who Jesus is and what he's done in your life. That you were blind before you met him, that you were lost, that you were on your own making mistakes and just not living life the way that God intended. But now you see and you know what it's like to live out a life that follows him, that's not perfect, but is guided by the one who is perfect. Maybe you think your story may not be as dramatic as this guy who was physically blind and can see, but the reality is that God has changed you in the way that he's changed you, and that is dramatic enough. That's your story. So many of us, if I go around the room, some of us say, well, you know, I was saved when I was five, so I didn't get to do any of that drinking stuff. I didn't get to do any of that fun stuff. Listen, for most of us that got to do it, it might have been fun for the moment, but it didn't stay fun for long. There may have been things that you didn't experience in your life that God protected you from. They may not have protected some of us from, but the reality is that we all have a story, and that story is just as powerful because you were blind and now you see. I was blind and now I see. He's helped us to take us through that. There's different ways that we can do it, that we get to tell people our story. One is just an interaction. Two, maybe you own a business and you can begin to open up and tell your employees your story and then open up a Bible study. Maybe it's that you have opportunities as students to write a paper, and you can write that paper that tells your story so that other people can see it and hear it. There's so many ways to do it, and it's so simple to just tell about who God is to you and what He's done in your life. I just want to share a quick video that really, to me, illustrates that very well. And so just take a moment to check this out.
We all know where our blessings come from. And for me, that's from God. And no matter how many fans come out or 100,000 people are cheering, I know that my strength and my ability is from Him. I never really thought my struggles were something that it was just on me. I always felt like I had a hard heart towards God and just resisted it in every way you could. And all the failures and all the tough times growing up and a single parent home and just a rough childhood, all those things led me to resist God. And finally, when I opened my heart to Him and I met my wife, that was really when I knew that God had a plan for me and that He was what I needed. Really, God just, He didn't resist me. He took me in His arms and just showed me what life is all about and really what I'm here on earth to do, and that's to live for Him. Every decision I make, I try to make it for God and use the right judgment to do so. Obviously, I make mistakes. I still fail every day, but I know through Him and His grace that I can have everlasting life. And I walk with Him every day. I talk to Him. It's like He's my friend. Well, my personal relationship with Jesus is personal. That's exactly what it is. I mean, God's blessed me in so many ways, and my family. I've just learned so much with Him, and having life without Him and really resisting Him in my life. And now to a point in my life where He's so involved in it. Everything I do is that relationship with Him. That's what my life's about. And I really want to spread the word of Jesus and know the impact that He has. So without Jesus, I'm nobody. I'm definitely humbled by Him and my relationship with Him. I'm Jason Witten, and I am second.
And he's a cowboy. Anyway, so it's so simple to share. You knew I was going to stick that in there, didn't you? I couldn't find one of a panther. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. But the reality is that it's very simple to tell where you were and where you are now. And so let me just encourage you. If you don't have a story and you can't tell that, then maybe it's time to look at why you can't tell your story. Maybe it's time to look deeper inside and be able to ask the question of Jesus, why can't you? And I promise if you'll ask, then He'll answer. And maybe it's just that it's time to get right. It's time to get deeper into that relationship to be able to do it. He's blessed you with the story, and He's blessed you with the ability to tell His story. The third one is this. And it's a very interesting one. The third unlikely evangelist is a lady named Dorcas. And she teaches us to give your life away. Now let me just say, if you have a name like Dorcas, you have to be an unlikely about anything. All right? So come on, you know, you can't even have a dumb name and be held back, okay? So the truth is that God can use all of us to do that. Acts 9, verse 36 says this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which I'm glad Tabitha's not here today. Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Now let me unpack that for you. Dorcas was blessed with a burden. Like we talked about in week two, she was blessed with a burden, and that burden was to help widows. See, in this culture, if you were a widow, if your husband died, then everything that you owned would go to your son. And if you were a deadbeat son, your mom, the wife, would be left out in the cold. If they didn't have a son, then everything would go to a brother of the husband. And so if he was a deadbeat, then you were left out in the cold again. And so this happened quite a bit. And so Dorcas had a burden for these widows who were left to fend on their own. So she would take care of them, and she would make sure they were fed. She would make sure they had housing. She would make sure that things were done for them so that they were cared for. She understood that it was important to not leave anybody out, and so she gave her life away trying to help these people who had nothing, and she became so valuable. This ministry that she had by giving herself away was so important that God would even raise her from the dead. It was if you read the story, you find out all about this. And so it's amazing to do it. Now, I don't know if he did it because he felt sorry because she had a name like Dorcas. I don't know, but he did it, okay? And so, listen, you can do that. You can even be a dork, I guess, dork us and share Jesus. So the truth is that listen, you got to give yourself away so that you get opportunities to tell people. We've got some great opportunities here to give ourselves away. You know, the Great Day giveaway that we're collecting stuff for out here in the lobby is a great opportunity for us to give ourselves away. Just give away the stuff that you don't really need anyway. To give away yourself the day of the event to come and serve and be here to just love on people and make them feel good about what they're doing. It's a great opportunity. You can give yourself away by making sure that we got plenty of Operation Christmas Child boxes full. It's really cool today. There's a couple of people visiting. I don't make them stand or I don't do all that stuff. But a friend of mine, Kenny, and his family were here. We played football together at Lee's McRae, and they spent the day yesterday serving down at Operation Christmas Child. And Mike is a classmate of Kelly's. They just both happened to show up here the same day. That's pretty cool. But they've been sharing with Operation Christmas Child and serving down there. And so what a cool thing for, you know, they've been giving themselves away. It's a great opportunity, great day for y'all to show up so I can make you a sermon illustration. But, you know, the truth is that's what we need to be doing. We need to find opportunities to give ourselves away. There are people in our community who need that. If we're going to be a community church, if we're going to say that we're important to our community, if we're going to say we're valued by our community, then we have got to be involved in our community. It can't be just a few people here doing a few things that just meet a couple of needs. We've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to help people to see who Jesus is. And it comes by us giving ourselves away. Maybe it's there's a family that needs you to help them this Christmas season, just to get them through. You know, Kelly and I and the girls are gonna do that. We've got a family that we're gonna help, a young single mom, and you know, just be able to help them provide Christmas and more than that. To make sure they've got food and make sure they've got those things. There's just things that we gotta do to be able to give ourselves away. And I promise, the more we give ourselves away, the more that God's gonna give us. And I don't mean that to do it as a blessing for stuff. I just want more of God in me. And I'm satisfied with that. If I can just give more of me away and get more of Him, I'm good with that. And I think if we can have that kind of attitude that we can learn so much and we can grow so much and we can meet so many people and lead them to Jesus. Dorcas sets a great example for us to be able to know how to do that. The fourth unlikely evangelist is Peter. And Peter in the Bible that we recognize that was one of the disciples with Jesus, man, what a fireball he was. But Peter, he taught us that sometimes you got to get in someone's face. Then we learned that you got to share the story. You got to, you know, give yourself away. You got to sometimes, to be a great evangelist, you just got to do it. You got to get in somebody's face. Now let me just put a little asterisk here. This is not a license for you to go out and get in somebody's face, okay? Don't do that. You know, I know some of you are loaded, cocked, ready, loaded, you're just ready to unload on somebody. But listen, Peter teaches us there is a method to the madness, and for you and I that we better be ready to get in somebody's face only when the Holy Spirit prompts us to do that. And the only way we're going to know that is if we listen and if we're ready. But Peter, man, he was the dude when they came and arrested Jesus, he jumped out with his sword and took the dude's ear off. You know? Like, Peter was like, he was awesome in some ways because he just was so ready to go. He was so, you know, jacked up, you know, and he was ready to defend Jesus. He cuts the guy's ear off, you know, and then a few hours later he denies him. But anyway, you know, so we don't want to be like him on that side. We want to be like him on the side that's ready to just share about Jesus. He went and he found himself in the book of Acts in front of thousands of people. And he had an opportunity to preach and just share a message in front of them. And he could have really done this in a lot of ways, like some of our churches where, you know, they don't talk about hell, they don't prompt people to realize the true consequences of what sin does. And I'm not bashing them, just the reality of there is a place called heaven and there is a real place called hell, and we have to talk about both of those. And Peter was not afraid to do that. He confronts them in Acts chapter 2, and we read in verse 38, they had the people say, well, what do we need to do then? Because see, he got in their face and he got their attention. And they said, what do we need to do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And it says, skips down, it says, with many other words, he warned them. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Peter confronted them with the scripture, and the Bible says that when he did that, 3,000 came to know Jesus. Now think about that for a second. We are so afraid in our society to be confrontational with the gospel, to preach it like it really is, to be blunt and honest about it. But the truth is, when Peter did it, thousands came to know Jesus. One of the reasons we might not be seeing that in our churches is we've gotten really soft with it. And I'm not for bashing people. I'm not for just making people feel guilty. But I am for being honest about what the scripture teaches us and the reality of what it really means if we die without Jesus as our Savior. Listen, it's not a game. And it's not a fairy tale. And we can't always treat it as such, because we've got to be honest with it. It's not about being angry. It's not about being vicious. It's not even about being right, just so we can point out that somebody else is wrong. It's just being truthful and honest about what the Bible teaches us and presenting it and letting people understand it and letting God do what he wants to do with it. I'm never going to be one of those pound on the pulpit preachers. Not going to do that. But I am going to tell people the truth of what the Bible says to the best that I can. And Peter shows us that sometimes to be the evangelist that we're meant to be, we got to be honest with people. And we get so scared to be truthful that we soften it up so much that I think people don't feel the need to receive it the way that Christ intends for it to do. We don't need to take the place of the Holy Spirit and try to convict them ourselves, because that's not our role. But our role is to be led by the Spirit and to be truthful as the Spirit leads us. So we got to be able to be honest about it. Sometimes that means that you got to have a sit down with that person that you know just doesn't have a relationship with Christ. It doesn't mean that you just keep living it out in front of them, hoping that sooner or later they'll catch on. It's that you got to sit down and be honest. Tell them what God's done for you and tell them about where the scripture shows that they're at, and tell them what it takes to really have a relationship with Jesus. Sometimes that's a difficult place to be. Sometimes that's one of the hardest places that I find myself, even as your pastor. But sometimes I just got to be honest, and I can't fluff it up enough. I can't you know, soften it up and put enough sugar on it. Sometimes you just gotta feed it to them like it is. You know, I like my coffee. If you ever watch my coffee, it's never brown. It's very beige, and it's very sweet. It's got a lot of sugar, and it's got a lot of sweet creamer in it. It's got a lot of, you know, if you really want to know, it's got a lot of vanilla caramel or French vanilla in it, because I like it that way. I drink girly coffee, all right? Just say it. Because I can't take coffee black. But I was just thinking about that this morning. I was making my coffee, and I said, you know what? If I had to drink this black, if I needed it, and I didn't have any of this other stuff, I'd drink it. If it took that to kind of keep, you know, to keep me warm, if it took that to, you know, to kind of keep me going so that I didn't, you know, if I had to do it, I'd do it. And listen, there's people that have to have Jesus before they die, or they're going to spend forever separated from God. Listen, sometimes we just got to give it to them black. Sometimes we just can't put enough creamer in it. We can't put enough sugar in it. We can't even pull out none of them little artificial packs. We just got to serve it to them like it is. And they have to choose whether they drink it or not. So today, I want you to be encouraged that there's many opportunities and many ways that we get to share Jesus. Sometimes we get to you know, tell it, you know, share the story, tell our story so it reflects onto His story. Sometimes we got to give ourselves away, just serving people so we have an opportunity to let them know why we serve them. Sometimes we just gotta give it to them black and let them choose whether they take it or not. So today, be encouraged. You've been blessed with an opportunity to share Jesus. You've been blessed with an opportunity to share His story, and hopefully because it's affected your story. Today, I want us to reflect on our own stories. Do they truly reflect Him? Does our story revolve around His story? If not, today's a day that we need to make a decision to allow that to happen. To allow our story to be able to be what people begin to see so they clearly understand and begin to experience His story. Let's pray together. God, I pray that in these moments as we just pause and we take in all that You've given us, God, that You've blessed us with the story to tell. You bless us with Your story. Because of that, it changes our story. God, for those in the room who've had the opportunity to experience their story being changed by Yours, God, may they be encouraged today that it's time to tell their story. It's time to share with others who You are and what You've done in their lives. By telling others, by just saying, come and see. By saying, here's what He did for me. By saying, here, let me do that for you because Christ has done this for me. And let me be honest with you because Jesus has been honest with me. God, in these moments, God, help us to recognize what we need to do next. For some of us, we need to just confess that we've not been open with your story. We've not shared it with anybody. God, may we be honest that we've been part of the 95 to 97% of Christians who don't ever share their faith. God, may that break our hearts that so many of us have experienced it, but so few of us share it. When there are so many ways that we can share it. Come and see. Here's what He did for me. Let me do that for you because of what Jesus has done for me. Here's the truth, just like Jesus shared it with me. God, move in our hearts. God, help us not be the same. For those that need to accept You today, may they do that right now. Confess their sins, recognize that Jesus is Your Son, that He came and lived a sinless life, that He died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, and was buried, and on the third day You raised Him again because of Your love and Your power, God. And because of that, we can be different. Help us to be different today. In Jesus' name, amen.